Yeah.
Hello, Lavender Squad. Welcome back. What a beautiful afternoon to record another dreamy episode, which, by the way, and I can't believe this, is the 15th, 1-5, episode of the Lavender Fix podcast. I am mind blown. And what better way to celebrate this milestone than to have this next guest on the show who is quirky beyond words. This Lavender Maven is none other than the art kid from Pakistan, Ariba Siddiqui. Also the majestic woman behind my wedding e-invite from 2017. Yes, that was her. Ariba is a blogger, a professional stereotype and gender norms crusher, and she does it effortlessly. All thanks to her sassy personality, her outspoken nature, and her razor-sharp design skills. I personally have been following her work for years. I was still a baby when I first started following her Instagram handle, and she is still my favorite artist on this planet. It goes without saying that she has achieved so much at such a young age. It blows my mind. And Ariba is not just a role model to many young girls in Pakistan, but she is also an activist, a social media influencer who uses her art pieces to exhibit the world around her and expresses her feelings about politics, feminism, and cultural barriers. Today, we chat about Ariba's sheer brilliance, what goes on in her insanely creative brain, and her dreams and aspirations for the future. Welcome, Ariba. Welcome to the Lavender Fix podcast.
Hi, Sabrine. Thank you so much for having me here.
I'm
really excited because I was just listening to one of the episodes just a few days ago and I was like, wow, this is amazing. I'm really glad that Sabrine is doing it.
Oh, and like for me, it was such an honor because you told me you discovered it by accident because you were looking for a few episodes related to the show Indian Matchmaking and then you stumbled upon mine and then you're like, hey, I know this girl. And I was like, what? That's how you found me? So
yeah, actually, I was looking for the humans behind the Indian Matchmaking show and I was like, okay. Wow, Sabrine is behind it. This is so cool.
Awesome. No, thank you so much for tuning into that episode. And thank you so much for agreeing to being in an episode. So that's that. And it is such a good feeling to have you on here. I have been, and you know this, I've been following you for years. I mean, I was a baby when I first started following you. And for some strange reason, just talking to you today, a part of my life feels very complete. And I know that sounds very filmy. But I have I have watched you grow and evolve and thrive over the years, and I'm just so curious to know about your current state of mind and where you're at in your journey. So how would you describe that?
As a person, I feel like I'm growing into a more responsible human being because, I'm at this point in my life where I'm chasing deadlines, doing all important work and acting all grown up. Yeah. And as an artist, I feel like I'm in a transitional phase. I started as just an artist. And now after enrolling into an art school and getting a communication design degree, so I feel like I'm turning more into a designer.
Mm.
So I feel like I'm kind of trying to find my way through the art categories, and I don't see myself as someone who just wants to paint pretty things like flowers and sceneries. Mm-hmm. I want to design a product, something that people can actually use, something more tangible, something that can make their lives easier.
Yeah. Well, I have to say that your art is very tangible, and but I do understand where you're coming from, and you know, I mean, and I genuinely feel like you having a merch line is my dream. So I hope that happens, and I know that it will happen. So I'm glad that that's part of your plan. But I wanted to ask you that when you say transitioning, what are you transitioning from exactly?
Yeah, when I started as a kid when I started out drawing and just keeping a simple sketchbook or this art journal that I have.
Mm.
So it was more like a multimedia art, and I would add everything in it, like cutouts, paintings, my own words.
Mm.
But now I'm trying to refine my art and actually focus on products and not just some pretty things that you can hang in your house and call art.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to be more responsible even as an artist, even as a designer.
Yeah. So, yeah. Wow. You just, yeah, you made me wonder about my own life and if I am transitioning in any way, but no, that's super awesome. I mean, Ariba, you are crazy talented. You're the type of talented that makes me wonder why I am not that talented.
Stop.
No, honestly, like I remember when I first discovered you, I was like, oh my God, I wish I could do that. Or, oh my God, let me try and I just, you know, what you're doing is what I genuinely, if there is a second life, I hope that I'm able to use Illustrator and Photoshop and like do everything that you do. And just not even that, the ideas and the concept that you bring with your art, I think is pretty phenomenal. But how did you're pretty young, you're still super young. And I wanted to know, you know, how did your tryst with the world of art and design start?
I think it started right after my birth. It's mainly because my mother, she used to read a lot. She had lots of Urdu novels and it was mostly thriller and mystery. Mm. So I saw her reading all the time. So naturally, I adapted that thing. And I started reading even when I was in first grade and nobody else could read in my class. I remember reading Nonahal, and it was this Urdu digest. No, I don't think I can call it a digest, but it was like a Urdu publication for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up reading it. So when you go through that experience, when you're reading something, so you try to imagine it. And when you imagine something, you either talk about it or you try to sketch it out.
Mm.
So sometimes when I couldn't talk about it with anyone, I would just try to draw it. And I feel like my hands need something to do all the time. So
yeah,
it was mostly me sketching things that I read about.
Right.
So that is how it started.
So you were visualizing everything that you read. Of course, as a child, our imaginations are so blown up. And you had the gift of, you know, being able to draw. So, no, I totally get it. So you're saying, in my mind, I equate the fact that you started reading to reach a level where you're like, okay, I read a lot, so maybe I should write. But for you, it was, you read a lot, but then that stimulated your imagination to draw. And that, to me, is very interesting.
Yeah.
Right. So
I mean, I've always been into writing and writing and drawing both, but I'm more attracted to the drawings and mapping things out instead of writing more.
Sure. No. I completely understand. And so you also have a twin sister. And you both are beyond identical. I mean, I honestly cannot tell you apart. But just out of curiosity, is your art also identical?
No, I feel like it's complete opposite of each other's work.
Huh.
Because my sister Noor, she's more attracted to softer things, to nature. She's into poetry and words. And where I am, I'm more into gruesome details with the dark plot twists, and I usually try to draw it into my drawings.
Yeah.
So my artwork is more rock solid. It's like somebody set it on fire.
Yes.
But Noor's is more soft and it's warm and it's inviting. So it makes people happy.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's very pleasing to the eye. But my illustrations are very, I don't know, I think it's on the verge of, I don't know, like a, how should I say
I know I know what you mean, because I remember when we were catching up the other day, you kind of said that, you know, for example, you when you sketch women in your illustrations, they look like women. They are not quote-unquote like pretty, or, you know, it's the real stuff, like the lips are uneven and they're not like the traditional plump lips, or the eyebrows are very thick and bushy. So you're the way you draw is very sort of kind of far away from the commoditization of, say, women and figures and stuff like that.
I feel like I don't try to make them look pretty or something that's pleasing to look at. It, they are just how I see things, not pretty or not pretty, yeah. Just how they are. Yeah.
Just as they are, right. No, of course. And even though your aesthetics vary, yours and your sister's, has your sister's work, which is Noor, has her work inspired you or influenced your designs in any way?
I would say that not my artwork, but me as a person, because I see her work on her artwork and then it inspires me to do that, make more art on my own. I read more because of her, because she's always finding new books to read and she's bringing all these pretty books and poetry books to read. So I feel like she makes me feel more focused on my work, and I see her go through this phase where she's trying to be better. So it makes me feel like I need to do the same. So together we work on our crafts and it makes us both better artists.
Yeah. And are you too critical of one another's work, and do you share feedback? If yes, how does that go? Because you're twins at the end of the day. Is it civil or is it all screams?
Yeah, we do go through each other's work before it goes on Instagram. And I remember before she published her first book, she made me read the entire book around 40 times before she sent it to the publishers. And yeah, it was a lot. I was happy to do it, but she would be like, you have to tell me about each and every single line and word. So sometimes it got a lot of out of control and I was irritated, but I did it for her and I did it for her poetry. So we do that. We kind of do that every day after Asr. It's our time to make art and take pictures because it's golden hour.
Yeah.
So we go through each other's work. We point things out and we just try to just to kind of give each other solid and unfiltered
feedback.
So yeah, so there's no room for any mistake.
And this happens every single day?
Yeah, we try to, because we have to make art every single day. If it's not for Instagram, it's for our university. And yeah, maybe sometimes commissioned work too, but yeah, we do try to make art every day.
Yeah, I mean, you're twins, you grew up together, and I'm assuming that you're both sort of one another's best friend in a way. And I remember when we were chatting yesterday or the day before, you said to me that growing up, the two of you would, based on the stories that the older folks in your family would share with you. So for example, I know you talked about your grandmother and you also talked about your mom a little bit, where you said that they would narrate stories that had certain characters like dwarfs and fairies and djinns, and you both would kind of put your heads together and make the djinn look as bad as possible or the Satan look as bad as possible. Those are things that kind of bring you closer, and then you know, you blossom into better versions as you grow up.
I feel like with Noor, it has been a lifelong collaboration. It's like even before we were born. So yeah, I remember doing every creative thing with her.
Right.
I mean, we started drawing together. Every time I would discover something new to do or to draw, I would just go and share it with her. And I think this is how it became kind of like a habit, that we have to do it and we have to do it together. And if something doesn't look right to my eyes, I would actually point it out to Noor and she would actually listen to me and fix it.
Wow.
So we became each other's student and teacher at the same time. So yeah, every time my dadi would tell me any good story, I would make sure that Noor listens to it too, so we can work on it later in the day.
Yeah. I think that is very rare, because if like I ever told my sibling, hey, I think you need to fix this, he would probably like pick up a bunch of, I don't know what, Lego blocks and throw them at me. But I think this is pretty phenomenal that you have that level of, that you have that equation, that you're able to kind of learn from one another and be civil and share unfiltered feedback. I think that's really magical.
Yeah, we do have our uncivil moments. But whenever it comes to art, we are pretty honest and yeah, we don't hold anything against each other.
Right.
But otherwise, we might do that sometimes.
Yeah, no, of course. I think every kind of sibling relationship, I think that it comes with that, a little bit of grime. So in terms yeah, of your growth patterns, how have they been? Mm-hmm. Have they been kind of like, of course not identical, but you know, are there more similarities than differences?
Yeah, I feel like over the few years, both of us have found our own paths in the art world. Noor used to write short poems, mostly inspired by other poets that she found on the internet. But later she developed her own style, and there are some specific words that she makes sure to use in almost all the poems. So it's her typical style. And it's the same with me, because when I started out drawing and illustrating, I would take elements from other artists that I really, really liked and put them in my artwork. But later on, I developed my own style, and it's about our own work now on this very original level, and we don't really need to add other people's work in our work anymore. So I feel like both of us found our own style,
right,
that can differentiate us from other people.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know much about art, but like, I for sure, if I were placed in a room with a bunch of art and then one of those pieces were yours, I would definitely be able to tell. Because you're right, like it's so quirky, it just makes me cry. It just, I am a huge fan of everything that you draw, and
thank you.
Like if you were to doodle on my notebook, I would frame it. So no, seriously, I think you're so smart. And I've noticed your kind of dark sense of humor and how you address yes, of course, that's the first thing that attracted me to your work, was, you know, the way you address a lot of the social issues. It's a very distinct element in your illustrations, you know, especially I remember, and one of the reasons why I reached out to you for my wedding invite was when I saw this Desi Men Tears Ruavza bottle. And I was like, oh my goodness, she gets me. And I thought that that was so funny, but also it was so hard hitting. So what would you say is the centerpiece of some of those sentiments, and how are you using your art form as a megaphone to throw light on social issues that matter to you?
Let's go back to my childhood.
Okay.
So when I was growing up,
Yeah, I
witnessed a lot of things, like
right,
serious things, like domestic violence all around me. It's pretty common in Desi societies, and mostly women, they don't stand up against it. They're like, this is how it's supposed to be. This is how a husband treats his wife. And I had this feeling, I knew that this was wrong. This is not how you treat a woman or even a human being.
Right.
So I developed this grudge against men. I did not do it on purpose, but if you see somebody repeating this circle of violence, this abuse, so it gets to your head and you want to fight against it. But I couldn't do anything at the moment because I was just a kid. But I always saw women crying over things that a man said or a man did, because they couldn't control it. And it seemed that they were really heartbroken and they were sad. And it just spread through the entire environment. So I could feel it. And I did not want to be that person. I did not want to be in that defeated position. So I wanted to be my own person, somebody who can take her own decisions, and if some environment wasn't safe for me, I should be able to leave it. So it was like I decided very early on in my life that I wanted to take charge of my life.
Right.
So, and I witnessed men around me who would every time they wanted to talk about something important, they would sit in the fanciest room in the house and talk about politics and whatnot.
Right.
While us women, we would just have to stay away from that room because it was such an important room full of important men. So it made me question that why weren't we allowed to exist in that space? Why did not my voice or opinion or woman's opinion matter as much as some other men's?
Right.
So, yeah. And one thing that really disturbed me was that the men got to eat first.
Oh,
and
man.
The women had to serve them. Yeah, this, it was such a norm.
I hear you. I know what you're talking about because, you know, it is very prevalent in a lot of the Southeast Asian cultures. And, you know, there is this whole thing about women serve the food and then men get to eat the food first. And then the women have to first, you know, just make sure that the table is clean and then eat, and then not even eat in the main living area, eat in the kitchen or in a smaller room. And yeah, it's insanity. I hear you.
Yeah. So, you know, taking charge of that space was really important to me. So when I joined the internet, I couldn't find many brown artists, and it was all whitewashed with pretty white artists and YouTubers making content. And the only brown artist I knew at the moment was Lily Singh. And yeah. Later on, when I was in grade 8, I found out about Zayn Malik. And I was okay, maybe.
We all know.
Maybe. Yeah, even if he was half white, I was like, but he has a Pakistani surname, so it right. was enough for me. So yeah. It was such a huge relief to find him in that space. And
he's your ultimate crush.
Yeah, he's my lifelong crush, and oh. I don't care if he's about to have a baby.
That's true. Actually, I completely forgot about that with Gigi Hadid. Yes.
Yeah, I'm happy for him, but oh. I still have a human size cut out of him.
Yeah. I think I've seen it. I think I've seen it in your photographs.
Yeah, I was so proud of it when I got it made.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know that, you know, a lot of your work is around amplifying the voices of women and breaking, rather, I would say, crushing gender stereotypes. Having said that, how have the men in your social follower bracket responded to, you know, some of your work and the way that you represent women and some of these issues?
Well, not many of them follow me. So my audience is more than 70% of women.
Wow.
And men, they don't really show up to my profile. And I don't know why and how I got off the hook really easy. I mean, yeah. I know that Pakistani men on the internet can be really cruel.
Of course.
But yeah, maybe it's because of my dupatta and the way sometimes I talk about religion.
Right.
Maybe they gave me a free pass.
Yeah.
I never got hate or trolling from them, from the male perspective of the internet followers.
Mm.
It's probably to do with my modest appearance. So honestly, at this point, I don't understand men.
Right.
I don't know what makes them happy, what makes them angry. I just don't get
them. They're the strangest beings. No, I understand where you're coming from. And I think if I, as a third person, were to give you my perspective on it, I feel like, yes, you're pretty young and, you know, I would say very, it's a really vulnerable age where it's easy to get crushed by hate comments and trolling and all that stuff. And I'm really glad that you haven't really had to deal with that. But I think it's not just about modesty. It's also the fact that, yes, you're modest and, you know, you have your own ideas and opinions, but also you have this platform where you have the power to influence. And I would say that Southeast Asians are very, or rather Asians are very reputation conscious, and they all very well know that one story where you tag a hater and they're destroyed for life. So I guess maybe people are, and I think it's good, even if that's the reason why they're not pestering you. I think that's still better than having 15 lecherous men pointing fingers at you. So I think that's... but speaking of your position of influence on Instagram especially, I would say, here is my jackpot question, which is, when did you first blow up, and was your growth gradual or overnight? Ariba, the world wants to know.
I think it was both.
Mm.
Because I was working on my Instagram for a long time, and I was also being featured on websites and magazines. I remember before, I think it was before I got my first blow up, it was this magazine who kind of asked to do a photo shoot for me and my sister, and we had no idea, but at the end we ended up being featured at the as their cover stars.
Wow.
So I think locally it was a mini achievement, but it was the feature that I got from Instagram.
Whoa.
That changed everything. Yeah,
of course.
It happened when I was working for Rookie Magazine. It was this huge online magazine that I grew up reading in high school. Yeah, it was every cool girl's dream in America.
Yes.
And Tavi Gevinson was leading it. Yeah, so it was such a cool magazine. And I feel like my entire personality, even at this point, is a lot influenced by Rookie Magazine, and it shaped my thinking and how I should go on about my artwork and my personal life.
Hmm.
So I was working for this piece for Rookie, and I shared a few pictures from that shoot on my Instagram, and it was some weekly hashtag prompt that Instagram posted on their feed that you have to take a few pictures inspired by this theme. So luckily it coincidentally matched with my with my photo shoot. So I think this is how I got discovered by Instagram, and after the pictures they featured me and it blew up big time.
I mean, Ariba, every time I think about it. And how old were you when this happened?
It happened 3 years ago, so I must be 20.
Jeez.
Yeah, because I'm 23 right now.
I can't believe it. Like, I think it gives me chills. The fact that, I mean, being featured by Instagram, especially like as an artist, I think that's huge, because, you know, it's like the prime digital real estate on Instagram. They have like millions and millions of followers. And I think it's also great because when you're trying to put your work on the map, and then you get an opportunity like that, it helps you reach the right people in the industry.
True.
Right?
Yeah,
so
true.
I would say that. But like in terms of, and this is just the curious kid in me, what was the gravity of this breakup in terms of like, what happened in terms of followers? Oh.
It felt like my birthday. It was thousands of followers. Every time I would refresh my page, I would get another 1,000 followers.
Wow.
So because of the feature, I got a lot of more recognition in Pakistan. A lot of Pakistani magazines, they featured me. A very famous website in Pakistan, it was called Mango Buzz, it featured me. It's like the BuzzFeed of Pakistan. So it was a big deal back then. Yeah, and I was again featured by Instagram around Women's Day 2017.
Stop.
So, yeah,
Who do you think you are?
Yeah, they asked me to take over their Instagram stories. And I was like, wow, am I like an Instagram star now?
Yeah, clearly
so
you are.
Yeah, and I feel like Instagram kind of fell in love with me at that point.
Yeah.
So there's this fun fact that Instagram commissioned an artist to draw my face.
Okay, and now you're just showing off. Okay, this is just...
No, listen. So I'm in this picture, I'm wearing a nut and I'm like looking all desi.
Yeah.
And yeah, they commissioned an artist to make this portrait of me, and they actually hung the portrait in their office. It was by the end of 2017. So I'm not sure if it's still there, but it actually happened.
Great.
So
and
it was huge.
And that is the end of this episode. I think we've had enough. My gosh. Can you imagine that Instagram kind of, oh my God, commissioned a freaking artist to draw your portrait and then hung it in their offices? And I'm pretty sure it's still there, Ariba. I'm going to make sure I fly down to wherever it is and click a photograph with it and then use the hashtag, she's my friend.
Yeah, I hope it's still there.
I'm going to write that popularity wave, but the fact that Instagram commissioned an artist to draw a portrait of you and then kind of went on to put that art on one of their office walls, that is huge, right? So would you say that Instagram has been your prime source of kind of showcasing your work?
Yeah, Instagram has been my home for years now. And I think it's all the support that I get from Instagram, it's like my main deal. Some people find their favorite social media, so I think Instagram is the one for me. And it's, you know, I told you that I'm more into visuals, and Instagram just does this for me. It's I feel like it's a safe space where I can put my work and just be surrounded by other visual artists. So yeah, right. I feel like Instagram kind of gave me that way to grow and find out about more artists.
And how frequently do you post on Instagram?
I try to post at least twice or thrice a week. I mean, it's my goal to post every day, but I make sure to update my stories.
Right.
At least 10 times a day.
And do you host live sessions? No.
No, I don't do that anymore because it takes a lot of energy and I don't have that these days.
Right.
Because of all the work and my art school.
Yeah, of course.
No, I don't do it anymore.
Right. Except that you will do one with me because we have to. Because I'm dying.
Yeah, sure. Yes, it's going to be like a Desi Girl collaboration.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
bring it on. Where we talk about an absolute, sort of an amazing amount of nothing.
Yeah, sure. Please.
Of course.
I'm up for it.
Absolutely. And so I also remember you had, or from what I can recall, you also had a very active blog. So what happened to that?
Good old times.
Yes.
Yeah, I had a blog. I ran it for a lot of years, but I had to close it. It was a lot of work. I mean, I had to do a lot and I was doing everything on my own. So I had to maintain the domain and promote the posts that I was posting on each and every single social media platform, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, even Pinterest, because it used to produce a lot of traffic. So it was a lot of work. But don't worry, I did not delete it. It's still in the archives, but it's not available for the public anymore.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, I sometimes do go back to my blog and read about my previous life. Yeah. And, you know, there was this post that I wrote in 2017 and it said that I'm going to go live in Karachi because I was in Theta back then.
Right.
So the post said, yeah, it was my future goals. And it said that I'm going to go live in Karachi. I'm going to get myself enrolled in an art school and I'm going to make a lot of art and make money out of it. And I'm actually doing it. So that post from 3 years ago on my blog, it turned out to be true.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? This girl is achieving too many things too soon. And like, I can't wait. I can't wait for you to hit other major milestones. And, you know, it's just so heartwarming to see. And the other thing also is you're so humble about it. You know, you're not a braggy kid at all. This is something I've noticed about you all throughout. There is this you're very simple. You have a very down-to-earth personality, but then you're also sassy. And you're also, you know, you're also strong-headed. And you're like the most amazing cocktail on this planet. A little bit of
Thank
everything.
You. Yeah.
No, of course. I mean, of course, sometimes when I reach out to people for my podcast, you know, I feel a little intimidated just because, you know, this is a passion project and I started it because I looked around and I felt like, oh my God, my own friends have so many wonderful stories that, you know, I could document for them. But then there were also times when I discovered people who I didn't really know directly. And I would feel a lot of pressure just sort of walking into some of those conversations because some of them, you know, like are very accomplished and, you know, I have this perpetual imposter syndrome and I was like, oh my God, they're totally going to like trash me or like ask me to get out. But I have to say with you, knowing how accomplished you are, I there was still a lot of comfort I felt in approaching you. And so that's just something I really admire about you. And I wanted you to know
this
that.
This is so sweet.
No, of course.
Thanks.
Now, speaking of the artist community, I know we were talking about you blowing up and then, you know, sort of a lot of the publications in Pakistan approaching you to then talk about your work. And I'm pretty sure that that also gave you a lot of face time with newer people in your connections within Pakistan. And I know you were connected far more to artists overseas, especially in the US. But did that connection within your community get better with Pakistani artists?
Yeah, it did. You know, when I moved to Karachi, I found out that there's this huge art scene, this art community that we have in Karachi. Everyone is pretty connected with each other. So, and it's very welcoming. I mean, when I first entered it and did a few exhibitions in the city, I found out a lot of people who were very welcoming. And I ended up with the finding really good friends, and not just friends, there were some people who got me work, who got me contracts. And the best part is when I enrolled in an art school in Karachi, so some of the people I worked with, they ended up being my teachers, because I was really young, and some of the people I worked with were really, really old and amazing at their profession. So they started teaching. And yeah, I mean, at least three of them are my teachers now.
Oh my gosh.
Amazing.
Have you been planning your life? This just seems too good to be true. Like, it just, like, how the hell is that even? What are the odds? I mean, that's amazing that you, you know, all these, some of them you're saying that were then your teachers in art school, right?
Yeah. And, you know, mostly, I mean, it's a really popular art school. So most artists, they study at my art school, and then we end up being they are the alumni and I'm the current student. So, you know, we have this connection. So the art community is pretty well knitted. Yeah.
Right. And where do you go for art school?
I go to Indus Valley School of Art.
Hey, huge shout out.
It's a really pretty art school. With this old building, and right across we have the sea. So it's such a pretty spot. Yeah.
Do people recognize you? Do they know who you are? That you're the Kanye West of illustrations?
Well,
and...
they do sometimes. I mean, sometimes when I'm out for shopping, some girl would come up to me and be like, oh my god, are you Ariba? It just happened today. I was out with my friends, and a mutual friend was supposed to meet us, and he came up to me, and I'm like, oh, you're Ariba. And I'm like, yeah,
oh my god,
I'm Ariba.
Yes, Ariba, your handle, right? Your Instagram handle, which is so cute, by the way. It's so short. And this is going to sound dumb, but for some reason I thought that your name was actually maybe not Ariba, but it was Ariba or something. And I was like, interesting. And then I'm like,
people do
actually
think it's Ariba. Yeah, sometimes people message me and they're like, is your name Ariba or Ariba?
I get it. Because it's Ariba. So they kind of use their, I see what you mean. Jeez. Interesting. No. That wasn't me. I know that you're currently enrolled in an art school and you're loving it. I can tell through your social media that, you know, you really kind of appreciate that experience. But how has that experience been so far, in the sense that has it changed your point of view in the way you see the world of art today or world in general?
It definitely has, yeah. Because, I mean, when you go to an art school, they teach you everything from this very basic level. So, and also the most important thing that they have taught me is to record everything. And do my research. So every time I want to do a commission piece, I make sure that I do my research beforehand. Because as an artist, I never really paid attention to document things or actually learn about them before I started drawing something.
Right.
But with art school, it has made me more organized. It has made me more responsible when it comes to my art, because this is what my teachers have told me, that you have to be responsible as an artist. You have to be responsible whenever you're creating something. So you need to know what are going to be the consequences of you making something. Mm-hmm. So the art school has definitely made me a better person and a better artist. I mean, sometimes they are a little too hard on all of us in terms of assignments and all. Sometimes it's bitter, but I love learning. Yeah, I love learning from all of my teachers.
I mean, when you put it like that, of course. And so this is probably my favorite question, and I've been dying to ask you, which is mostly relating to your personal style. You know, I have noticed that there is something there. The dupatta, the henna, the nut, the kind of the blue contacts, but you only wear it in one eye. There's something different, you know, about the way that you wear your clothes or style yourself. And where do you seek your inspiration from?
It's such a funny thing, because let's go back to my childhood.
Yes, please. And we're back.
So I grew up kind of sandwiched between religion and Bollywood.
Right.
So imagine praying 5 times a day with your amma and then going out in the living room and watching every single Sanjay Leela Bhansali movie ever made. So you grow up modest but also very filmy. So every time I am trying to look for a new outfit, I'm thinking, would Anjali from Kuch Kuch Hota Hai wear this?
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, yeah, I have a lot of white kurtas, and then I have red chunri, red dupatta. So every time I'm trying to make a desi outfit, I think, is it Bollywood approved? And I love jhumke. I love all the accessories that Bollywood taught me to wear. I love them. So I have this very, and you know, you talked about the blue lens.
Right.
I'm a very dramatic person. I like dramatic details. So I don't know if you know the term heterochromia, where a person is born with two different eye colors.
Yes.
So it's really fascinating to me. And I was like, okay, if I don't have heterochromia, I'll create it.
Oh,
so yeah, I just went out and got a pair of lens, and yeah, now I wear it. So it's just for a dramatic effect. There's no philosophy behind it.
I mean, your reasoning for wearing blue lenses is also too intelligent, honestly. I was expecting like a very random, you know, like, yeah, I just... It's like, people wear it in two eyes. Let me just do something different and wear it in one. But I definitely wasn't expecting you to say that there is this condition. And so I am very fascinated by it. But of course, you're a typical genius kid. And so you had to say that. I'm glad I asked you. But also, I remember, I don't know when, which year it was, but Kylie Jenner had released her lip kits. That was like a huge wave of, oh my God, her lip liners and lip kits.
Yeah.
And then I saw on your Instagram that you got the lip kits. And honestly, I didn't even know that she was selling lip kits. Like, I probably like knew a little bit about, like, yeah, she's kind of trying to do something with her stuff. And then I see that both you sisters, you already have your respective lip kits. And I'm like, who are these girls? Like, they're too ahead of, you know, they just know things way ahead of time and whatnot. So you are pretty attuned with what happens overseas.
Yeah, it's because I'm obsessed with the internet. And it's such a funny story behind those lip kits. You know, it was such a struggle to get them in Tata, because Tata is not this big fancy city. It's a small district. So I had to talk to a lot of people, a lot of my friends in the US, and I'm like, I need you to send me a lip kit. I'm going to pay you the double money. I'm going to do everything. Just get me the damn kits.
Oh, how many did you get?
Yeah.
How many did you get?
We got two. It was the most we could spend on.
My goodness.
Yeah. I remember Noor got a posy K, and I don't remember which one I got. It was a beautiful brown nude.
Mm.
I probably still have it, but I don't remember where it is. It's probably back in Tata still. a lot of my stuff is still in Tata. My Zen Malik cutout is still in Tata.
Aww.
So, yeah. So, a lot of my cool stuff I had to leave behind. But yeah, thank you for reminding me about the lipstick. I'm gonna ask for.
Yeah, and I know that you both love lipsticks and darker shades.
Yeah. I do. I mean, give me a dark shade of red or maroon, I'm gonna wear it the entire day.
Right. So one question that I wanted to ask you, this is completely off script, but you know, generally artsy people, they give them something with ink or something pigmented and they'll do something with it. When it comes to makeup, because I have seen you evolve, right? I have known you from a time where you didn't really wear as much makeup and you still don't. I don't see a lot of makeup on you. There are hints of little elements. But are you, is that something you enjoy?
I didn't used to wear makeup because I had this skin condition. It was perioral dermatitis, and it affects your skin from your upper lips area and surrounding your lips. So I was not allowed to wear lipstick for a long time. My dermatologist said not to wear anything, but sometimes I used to break rules.
Yeah,
and I was not allowed to wear foundation. So at some point in my life, I just couldn't wear any makeup. But alhamdulillah, it's all gone now. And I have a healthy, beautiful skin.
Yes, of course you do.
Yeah, so I have started wearing makeup again. So I don't wear foundation or heavy makeup, but I make sure that I have my concealer on.
Wow.
And I love mascara. Yeah, I never leave my house without mascara and eyeliner. So just very basic stuff. It's nothing over the top, but yeah. I love wearing makeup.
Yeah, I've definitely noticed a change. I've noticed that, you know, you know your stuff, whether it's makeup or, you know, graphic designing or sketching, you just know it all. So I just thought I'll drop in this little bonus question in there, which I'm pretty sure nobody would care about. They would be like, yeah, Sabreen, you could have asked a more intelligent question. But all right. So Ariba, we, believe it or not, we've reached the end of this episode. I can't believe
it.
I can't believe it because I looked at the, you know, the clock and I'm like, wait, what? It's been 47 minutes. It doesn't feel like it. As the tradition goes, this last section is called the advice section or the secret sauce section, if you may. So Ariba, what advice do you have for artists who are hustling and who are trying to put their art on the map? How can they kickstart this journey and follow your footsteps?
Okay. Nice. So my advice number one would be just make art. It's something that even I am trying to learn, and there's no concept of good or bad art. I mean, just leave this behind. Just make your art and make sure to put your art out in the world. So people need to know that you're an artist. You have to prove that you're an artist. And to do that, you have to make art. Just make it. Good, bad, whatever you think it is. Just make it and make it every day.
Mm.
Yeah. And advice number two would be, be very shameless when it comes to the pricing of your art.
Yes.
Most of us, we are always like, is this too much? Am I too expensive? Is anybody gonna buy it? No, don't worry about that. You know your worth. You know how many hours you're putting into your artwork. And it's a lot of hard work.
Mm.
So don't care about anybody. Just price whatever you put the price, whatever you want. Ask for whatever you think is right, and if they really like your art, they're gonna pay for it.
Right.
And I know all the artists are working really hard, so yeah, be shameless about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for, I think it, this third advice is for everybody, but it's especially for artists, and it's to read more. And you don't have to read a specific kind of book, just read a lot. It helps in visualizing things, it helps in discovering new things, new words that you can use in your art, but in your life, you know, it helps you in other aspects of your life as well. So just read more, be it a newspaper or a book or a blog or an article, just read more. And advice number four would be keep your friends close. Find a few good people in your life and mm-hmm. keep them close. You don't need a big group of people. Just one or two friends would work. But find your good people, and if they make you happy, keep them close. Yeah.
Simple and solid.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, when you said your fourth advice, someone in my neighborhood, they pulled out their lawnmower or something, and I'm like, great. And fifth advice is to shut all the doors and make sure that your recording compartment is sealed. But no, I mean, I feel like everything you just said is so kind of doable. And especially, I think my favorite point was, you know, where you said that you have to be shameless about how you evaluate your art. And I think that that's what a lot of the influencers struggle with. I think, you know, there is this whole chatter around barter system and we will send you free products. But the thing is, products don't pay the bills. You know, Ferrero Rocher will not pay your electricity bill. And so it's really important to very confidently put forward the sort of your whatever you feel is fair and whatever is you deserve for the number of hours you're putting in. So kudos to you, Ariba, for actually bringing that up, because I know that that's a very burning topic of discussion in the influencer community. But yeah, any last words before we wrap up?
Thank you so much for having me here, Sabreen. I mean, it's my first time doing any podcast. I mean, I love them. I love listening to them. And I'm really, it's a surprise, the plot twist in my life that, yeah, I was listening to this very same podcast last week and now I'm on it. So
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
So thank you for having me.
Of course.
And I cannot wait to see you grow and, you know, talk to more insanely creative people. And yeah, I mean, I hope that we do meet one day and do this conversation person to person.
In real.
Yeah, I mean, I have known you for 3 years now.
I would say.
So yeah, please do come to Pakistan.
100%.
Or I will have to come to the US.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you for being such a star, Ariba. I mean, I can't wait to watch you hit millions, and you are the Kylie Jenner of my life. and I'm dreaming of the day when I start buying your lip kits, not your lip kits, but you know, your merch. And I still can't believe we did this, and I'm so grateful for your time, my friend. And just like that, another episode comes to an end. And I would also like to thank our listeners for making the time to tune in. And as always, I will see you guys back here next week with another episode. Till then, chin up.